Star Wars, The Last Command by Timothy Zahn. Continued. Cassette number 11, side 1.
Either way. Side 1.
Either way, it was trouble.
Better let me talk to him, she told the controller.
Yes, counselor.
There was a quiet click.
Hello, Carda,
Leia said.
This is Leia Organa Solo.
Hello, counselor, Carda's cool, well-modulated voice replied. It's nice to talk to you again. I trust you received my package. Leia had to think back. Right, the macrobinocular record of the Ukiyo attack.
Yes, we did, she acknowledged. Allow me to express the New Republic's gratitude.
Your gratitude has already been amply expressed, Carda said dryly. Were there any unpleasant repercussions over the payment arrangements?
On the contrary, Leia said, bending the truth only a bit. We'd be happy to pay equivalent rates for more information of that quality.
I'm glad to hear that, Carda said. Are you by any chance also in the market for technology? Leia blinked. It wasn't a question she'd been expecting.
What sort of technology? She asked.
The semi-rare sort, he said. Why don't you give me clearance to come down and we'll discuss it?
I'm afraid that won't be possible, Leia said. All non-essential traffic in and out of Coruscant has been restricted.
Only the non-essential traffic? Leia grimaced. So he had been listening to rumors.
What exactly have you heard?
Assorted whispers only, he said. Only one of which really concerns me. Tell me about Mara.
What about Mara?
Leia asked guardedly. Is she under arrest? Leia threw a look at Winter.
Carda, this isn't something we should be discussing.
Don't give me that, Carda cut her off, his voice suddenly hard. You owe me. More to the point, you owe her.
I'm aware of that, Leia countered, letting her own voice cool a degree or two. If you'll let me finish, this isn't something we should be discussing on an open channel.
Ah, I see. If he was feeling any embarrassment over his mistake, it didn't show in his voice. Let's try this. Is Ghent available?
He's around somewhere.
Find him and get him on a terminal with comm system access. Tell him to program in one of my personal encrypt codes. His choice. That should give us enough privacy.
Leia thought about it. It should at least filter out casual eavesdropping by other civilian ships in the system. Whether any Imperial probe droids lurking out there would be fooled was another question. It's a start, at least, she agreed. I'll go find him.
I'll be waiting. The signal went silent.
Trouble?
Winter asked.
Probably, Leia said. She looked down at Jason, a strange tingling in the back of her mind. There it was again. The eerie feeling that a vital piece of information was hovering in the darkness, just out of reach. Luke and Mara were involved with it, she'd already decided. Could Carda be involved, too? He's come to plead Mara's case, and I don't think he's going to be happy to find her gone. Take care of the twins, please. I have to find Ghent and get down to the war room.
The data checklist ran to the end and stopped.
Looks okay,
Ghent told Leia, peering at the display and making one final adjustment to the encrypt scheme.
You're not going to lose more than a syllable here or there anyway. Go ahead.
Just be careful what you say, Bell Iblis reminded her. There could still be probe droids out there listening in, and there's no guarantee the Imperials haven't broken Carda's encrypt codes. Don't say anything they don't already know.
I understand, Leia nodded. She sat down and tapped the switch the comm officer indicated.
We're ready here, Carda.
So am I, Carda's voice came back. It sounded a bit lower in pitch than normal, but otherwise seemed to be coming through fine. Why is Mara under arrest?
There was a break-in by an Imperial commando team a few weeks ago, Leia said, choosing her words carefully. The leader of the team implicated Mara as an accomplice.
That's absurd, Carda scoffed.
I agree, Leia said. But an accusation like that has to be investigated.
And what have your investigators discovered?
What some of us already knew, Leia said, that she was once a member of the Emperor's personal staff.
Is that why you're still holding her? Carda demanded. For things she might or might not have done years ago.
We're not worried about her past, Leia said, starting to sweat a little. She hated misleading Carda this way, particularly after all the assistance he'd given them. But if there were probe droids listening, she needed to make it look like Mara was still under suspicion. Certain members of the Council and High Command are concerned about her current loyalties.
Then those members are fools, Carda bit out. I'd like to talk with her.
I'm afraid that's impossible, Leia said. She's not being allowed access to external communications.
There was a faint sound from the speaker, an encrypt glitch or a sigh. Leia couldn't tell which. Tell me why I can't land, Carda said. I've heard the rumors. Tell me the truth. Leia looked up at Bell Iblis. There was a sour look on his face, but he gave a reluctant nod.
The truth is we're under siege, she told Carda. The Grand Admiral has placed a large number of cloaked asteroids into orbit around Coruscant. We don't know what their orbits are, or even how many of them are there. Until we find and destroy all of them, the planetary shield has to stay up.
Indeed, Carda murmured. Interesting. I'd heard about the Empire's hit and fade, but there hasn't been anything at all about any asteroids. Most of the rumors have suggested merely that you'd suffered severe damage and were trying to cover it up.
That sounds like the sort of story Thrawn would circulate, Bell Iblis growled. A little jab at our morale to keep him amused between attacks.
He's adept at all aspects of warfare, Carda agreed. But to Leia's ear, there was something odd in his tone. How many of these asteroids have you found so far? I presume you've been looking.
We've found and destroyed 21, she told him. That's 22 gone, counting the one the Imperials destroyed to keep us from capturing it. But our battle data indicates he could have launched as many as 287.
Carda was silent a moment. That's still not all that many for the volume of space involved. I'd be willing to risk coming through it.
We're not worried about you, Bell Iblis put in. We're thinking of what would happen to Coruscant if a 40-meter asteroid got through the shield and hit the surface.
I could make it in through a 5-second gap, Carda offered.
We're not opening one, Leia said firmly. I'm sorry.
There was another faint sound from the speaker. In that case, I suppose I have no choice but to make a deal. You said earlier that you'd be willing to pay for information. Very well. I have something you need, and my price is a few minutes with Mara.
Leia frowned up at Bell Iblis, got an equally puzzled look in return. Whatever Carda was angling for, it wasn't obvious to him either. What was obvious was that she couldn't very well promise to let him talk to Mara. I can't make any promises, she told him. Tell me what the information is, and I'll try to be fair.
There was a moment of silence as he thought it over. I suppose that's the best offer I'm going to get, he said at last. All right. You can lower your shield any time now. The asteroids are all gone. Leia stared at the speaker. What? You heard me, Carda said. They're gone. Thrawn left you 22. You've destroyed 22. The siege is over. How do you know? Bel Iblis asked. I was at the Bilbringi shipyard shortly before the Empire's hit and fade attack, Carda told him. We observed a group of 22 asteroids being worked on under close security. At the time, of course, we didn't know what the Empire was doing with them. Did you make any records while you were there? Bel Iblis asked. I have the Wild Carda's sensor data, he said. If you're ready, I'll drop it to you. Go ahead. The data feed light went on, and Leia looked up at the master visual display. It was the inside of the Bilbringi shipyards, all right. She recognized it from New Republic surveillance flights. And there, in the center, surrounded by support craft and maintenance-suited workers. He's right, Bel Iblis murmured. 22 of them. That doesn't prove there aren't any more, sir, the officer at the sensor console pointed out. They could have put together another group at Ord Trassi or Yaga Minor. No, Bel Iblis shook his head. Aside from the logistics problems involved, I can't imagine Thrawn spreading his cloaking technology around more than he has to. The last thing he can afford would be for us to get our hands on a working model. Or even a systems readout, Carda agreed. If you found a weakness, one of his chief advantages over you would be gone. All right, I've delivered on my end of the deal. How about yours? Leia looked at Bel Iblis helplessly. Why do you want to talk with her? The general asked. If it matters, one of the hardest parts of being locked up is the feeling that you've been deserted, Carda said coolly. I imagine Mara's feeling that. I know I did, when I was Thrawn's unwilling guest aboard the Chimera. I want to let her know in person that she hasn't been forgotten. Leia, Bel Iblis murmured, what do we do? Leia stared at the general, hearing his words but not really registering them. There it was, right in front of her, the key she'd been searching for. Carda's imprisonment aboard the Chimera. Leia, Bel Iblis repeated, frowning. I heard you, she said, the words sounding distant and mechanical in her ears. Let him land. Bel Iblis threw a glance at the deck officer. Perhaps we should... I said, let him land, Leia snapped, with more fire than she'd intended. Suddenly, all the pieces had fallen into place, and the picture they formed was one of potential disaster. I'll take responsibility. For a moment, Bel Iblis studied her face. Carda, this is Bel Iblis, he said slowly. We'll give you your 5-second opening. Stand by for landing instructions. Thank you, Carda said. I'll talk to you soon. Bel Iblis gestured to the deck officer, who nodded and got busy. All right, Leia, he said, turning back to her. What's going on? Leia took a deep breath. It's the cloning, Garm. I know how Thrawn's growing them so fast. The whole war room had gone dead quiet. Tell me, Bel Iblis said. It's the Force, she told him. It was so obvious, so utterly obvious, and yet she'd missed it completely. Don't you see? When you make an exact duplicate of a sentient being, there's a natural resonance or something set up through the Force between that duplicate and the original. That's what warps the mind of a clone that's been grown too fast. There's not enough time for the mind to adapt to the pressure on it. It can't adjust, so it breaks. All right, Bel Iblis said dubiously. How is Thrawn getting around the problem?
It's very simple, Leia said, a shiver running through her. He's using Isali Miri to block the Force away from the cloning tanks.
Bel Iblis's face went rigid. Across the silent war room, someone swore softly.
It was Carda's rescue from the Chimera that was the key, Leia went on. Mara told me that the Empire had taken 5,000 or 6,000 Isali Miri out of the forest on Mirkar, but they weren't loading them onto their warships, because when she and Luke went after Carda, Luke had no problem using the Force.
Because the Isali Miri were on Wayland, Bel Iblis nodded. He looked sharply at Leia, the texture of his sense abruptly changing. Which means that when the team gets to the mountain, Luke will be helpless, Leia nodded, her throat tight. And he won't even suspect it until it's too late. She shivered again, the dream she'd had the night of the Imperial attack suddenly coming back to her. Luke and Mara facing a crazed Jedi and another unknown threat. She'd soothed herself at the time with the knowledge that Luke would be able to sense Cabal's presence on Wayland and take steps to avoid him. But with the Isali Miri there, he might walk right into the other's hands. No, would walk into Cabal's hands. Somehow, at this instant, she knew that he would. What she'd seen that night hadn't been a dream, but a Jedi vision. I'll talk to Mon Mothma, Bel Iblis was saying, his face grim. Even with Belbringi, maybe we can shake some ships loose to go to their assistance. Turning, he headed quickly toward the exit, and the turbolifts beyond it. For a moment, Leia watched him, listening as the war room broke its self-imposed trance and came slowly back to life. He'd try, she knew, but she also knew that he would fail. Mon Mothma, Commander Sesfan, and Bel Iblis himself had already said it. There simply weren't enough resources available to hit both Wayland and the Belbringi shipyards at the same time, and she knew all too well that not everyone on the Council would believe that the threat of cloaked asteroids had ended. At least, not enough to call off the Belbringi attack. Which meant there was exactly one person left who could go to the aid of her husband and brother. Taking a deep breath, Leia headed off after Bel Iblis. There was a great deal she had to do before Carda arrived. There were three of them waiting when Carda emerged from the ship, skulking beneath the canopy overhanging the pad accessway tunnel. Carda spotted them from the top of the wild Carda's entrance ramp, and, despite the shadows, had two of them identified before he was halfway down. Leia Organa Sola was there, with Ghent fidgeting behind her. The third figure, standing behind both of the others, was short and wore the coarse brown robe of a Jawa. What a desert scavenger was doing there, Carda couldn't guess. But as the group stepped out of the shadows toward him, and he got his first good look at Organa Solo's face, it became clear that he was about to find out. Good morning, Counselor, he greeted her, inclining his head slightly. Good to see you, Ghent. I trust you've been making yourself useful.
I suppose so, Ghent said, shifting nervously from one foot to the other. Far too nervously, even for him. They say so, anyway.
Good. Carda shifted his attention to the third of the party. And your friend is?
I am Movekar Clan Hachar, a gravelly voice mewed.
Carda resisted the urge to take a half step backward. Whatever it was hiding under that robe, it most certainly wasn't a Jawa.
He's my bodyguard, Organa Solo said.
Ah. With an effort, Carda pulled his eyes away from whatever it was that was being concealed by the dark hood. Well, he said, waving a hand toward the accessway.
Shall we go?
Organa Solo shook her head. Mara's not here. Carda threw a look at Ghent, who was looking even more uncomfortable.
You told me she was.
I only agreed with you that she'd been arrested, Organa Solo said. I couldn't say anything more then. There may have been Imperial probe droids listening in.
With an effort, Carda fought down his annoyance. They were all on the same side here, after all. Where is she?
On a planet called Wayland, Organa Solo said, along with Luke and Han and some others.
Wayland?
Carda couldn't recall ever hearing of that world before.
And what's on Wayland that they find so interesting? He asked.
Grand Admiral Thrawn's cloning facility. Carda stared at her.
You found it?
We didn't, Organa Solo said. Mara did.
Carda nodded mechanically. So they'd found the cloning facility on their own. All that work he'd put in organizing the other smuggler groups, gone like dumped Kessel spice. The work, the risk, not to mention the money he'd planned to pay them with. You're certain the cloning facility is there?
We'll find out soon enough, Organa Solo said, gesturing to the ship behind him. I need you to take me there, right away.
Why?
Because the expedition's in danger, Organa Solo said. They may not know it yet, but they are. And if they're still on the timetable we were sent, we have a chance of getting to them before it's too late.
She told me all about it on the way up here, Ghent added hesitantly. I think we ought to...
He trailed off as Carda sent a look his way.
I sympathize with your people, Counselor, he said. But there are other matters that also need my attention.
Then you abandon Mara? Organa Solo reminded him.
I have no particular feelings for Mara, Carda countered. She's a member of my organization, nothing more.
Isn't that enough?
For a moment, Carda gazed at her. She held his gaze evenly, calling his bluff.
And in her eyes, he could see that she knew perfectly well that it was a bluff. He couldn't simply walk away and abandon Mara to her death any more than he could abandon Avis or Dankin or Chin. Not if there was anything he could do to prevent it.
It's not that easy, he said quietly. I have responsibilities to the rest of my people as well. At the moment, they're preparing to launch a raid with the hope of obtaining a crystal grab field trap to sell you.
A flicker of surprise flashed across Organo Solo's face. A crystal grab field trap?
It's not the one you're trying for, Carda assured her, but we've scheduled it for the same time, hoping your attack will distract the enemy. I need to be there.
I see, Organa Solo murmured, apparently deciding to pass over the question of how Carda could have known about the Tangreen raid. Will the wild Carda make all that much difference in that raid? Carda looked at Ghent.
It wouldn't make any difference at all. Not with Mazik and Elor and the others reinforcing the impressive group Aves had already pulled together.
The problem was that if they left now, and the way Organa Solo was talking, she meant for him to turn around and head straight back into space, there wouldn't be any chance of turning Ghent loose on the New Republic's computer system and rerouting the funds he needed to pay the other groups. Unless he could get the money another way.
It can't be done, he told Organa Solo firmly. I can't simply walk out on my people, at least not without...
Abruptly, the Jawa-robed alien snapped his fingers. Carda paused in mid-sentence, watching in fascination as the creature slipped noiselessly back into the accessway tunnel
a slender knife appearing somehow in his hand. He disappeared through the door, and for a moment there was silence. Carter raised his eyebrows at Organa Solo, got a slight shrug in return. There was a sudden squeal from inside the accessway door, followed by a sudden flurry of half-visible commotion. Carter found his blaster in his hand, and he was bringing it to bear on the figures when all the activity abruptly stopped. A moment later, the alien reappeared, forcing a half-crouched figure before him. An all-too-familiar figure. "Well, well," Carter said, lowering his blaster but not holstering it. "Counselor Phalia, I believe. Reduced to eavesdropping at doorways." "He is unarmed," the robed alien said in his gravelly voice.
"Release him, then," Organa Solo said.
The alien complied. Phalia straightened up, his fur rippling madly across his head and torso as he tried to salvage what he could of his composure.
"I protest this improper treatment," he said, his voice somewhat less melodious than the Bothan norm. "And I was not eavesdropping. General Bel Iblis informed me of Counselor Organa Solo's revelation concerning the cloning facility on Wayland. I came here, Captain Carter, to urge you to assist Counselor Organa Solo in her wish to go to Wayland."
Carter smiled tightly. "Where she would be conveniently out of your way. Thank you, but I believe we've already been through this together." The Bothan drew himself up.
"This is not about politics. Without her warning, the team on Wayland may not survive. And without their survival, the Emperor's storehouse may not be destroyed before the Grand Admiral can remove some of its contents to a safe place."
His violet eyes locked with Carda's.
"And that would be a disaster to both the Bothan people and to the galaxy."
For a moment, Carter studied him, wondering what was there that Phalia was so worried about. Some weapon or technology that Thrawn hadn't found yet? Or was it more personal than that? Unpleasant or embarrassing information, perhaps, either about Phalia or the Bothan people generally? He didn't know, and he suspected Phalia wouldn't tell. But the particulars didn't really matter. "Potential disasters to the Bothan people don't worry me," he told Phalia. "How much do they worry you?" There was an uncertain ripple of the fur across Phalia's shoulders.
"It would be a disaster for the galaxy as well," he said.
"So you said," Carter agreed. "I repeat, how much does it worry you?" And this time, Phalia got it. His eyes narrowed, his fur rippling with obvious contempt.
"How much worry will it take?" he demanded.
"Nothing unreasonable," Carter assured him. "Merely a credit of, say, 70,000.
70,000? Phalia echoed, aghast. "What exactly do you think..."
"That's my price, Counselor," Carter cut him off. "Take it or leave it. And if Counselor Organa Solo is correct, we don't have time for any long discussions." Phalia hissed like an angry predator.
"You're no better than a foul mercenary," he snarled, his voice about as vicious as Carter had ever heard a Bothan get. "You drain out the lifeblood of the Bothan people."
"Spare me the lecture, Counselor," Carter said. "Yes or no?" Phalia hissed again.
"Yes."
"Good," Carter nodded, looking at Organa Solo. "Is the credit line your brother set up for me still there?"
"Yes," she said. "General Bel Iblis knows how to access it."
"You can deposit the 70,000 there," Carter told Phalia. "And bear in mind that we'll be stopping to check on it before we reach Wayland, in case you had any thoughts about backing out."
I am honorable, smuggler, Phalia snarled, unlike others present. I'm glad to hear that, Carda said. Honorable beings are so difficult to find. Counselor Organa Solo. She took a deep breath. I'm ready, she said. They were off Coruscant and nearly ready for the jump to lightspeed before Leia finally asked the question she'd worried about since coming aboard. Are we really going to stop to check on Phalia's funds? With time as critical as you suggest, Carda countered. Don't be silly. But Phalia doesn't know that. Leia watched him for a moment as he handled the wild Carda's helm. The money's not really important to you, is it? Don't believe that, either, he advised her coolly. I have certain obligations to meet. If Phalia hadn't been willing to cooperate, your New Republic would have had to do so. I see, Leia murmured. He must have heard something in her voice. I mean that, he insisted, throwing a brief and entirely unconvincing scowl at her. I'm here because it suits my purposes, not for the sake of your war. I said I understood, Leia agreed, smiling privately to herself. The words were different, but the look on Carda's face was almost identical. Look, I ain't in this for your revolution, and I'm not in it for you, Princess. I expect to be well paid. I'm in it for the money. Han had said that to her after that stormy escape from the first Death Star. At the time, she'd believed it. Her smile faded. He and Luke had saved her life then. She wondered if she'd be in time now to save theirs. Chapter 24. The entrance to Mount Tantus was a glint of metal nestled cozily beneath an overhang of rock and vegetation. Between them and it, just visible from their hilltop vantage point, was a clearing with a small city lying in it. What do you think? Luke asked. I think we find another way in, Han told him, bracing his elbows a little harder into the dead leaves and trying to hold the macro binocular steady. He'd been right. There was a stormtrooper guard station just off the metal doors. You never want the front door anyway. Luke tapped his shoulder twice, the signal that he'd picked up someone coming. Han froze, listening. Sure enough, there was a faint sound of clumping feet in the underbrush. A minute later, four Imperial troops in full field gear came out of the trees a few meters further down the hill. They walked straight past Han and Luke without so much as looking up, disappearing back into the trees a few steps later. Starting to get pretty thick, Han muttered. I think it's just the proximity to the mountain, Luke said. I still don't get any indication that they know we're out here. Han grunted and shifted his view to the village poking out of the clearing down below them. Most of the buildings were squat, alien-looking things, with one really good-sized one facing into an open square. His angle wasn't all that good, but it looked like there were a bunch of sedans hanging around near the front of the big one. A town meeting, maybe? I don't see any sign of a garrison down there, he said, sweeping the macro binoculars slowly across the village. Must be working directly out of the mountain. That should make it easier to get around it. Yeah, Han said, frowning as he swung the macro binoculars back to the town square. That crowd of sedans he'd noticed a minute ago had shifted into a sort of semicircle now, facing a couple more of the walking rock pile standing with their backs to the big building. And it was definitely getting bigger. Trouble? Luke murmured. I don't know, Han said slowly, wedging his elbows a little tighter and kicking the magnification up a notch. There's a big meeting going on down there. Two sedans,
but they don't seem to be talking, just holding something. Let me try, Luke offered. There are Jedi techniques for enhancing vision. Maybe they'll work on a macrobinocular image. Go ahead, Han said, handing over the macrobinoculars and squinting at the sky. There were a few wispy clouds visible up there, but nothing that looked like it was going to become a general overcast anytime soon. Figure 2 hours till sundown, another half hour of light after that. Luke said. What is it? I'm not exactly sure, Luke said, lowering the macrobinoculars. But it looks to me like what they're holding is a data pad. Han looked out toward the city. I didn't know they used data pads. Neither did I, Luke said, his voice suddenly going all strange. Han frowned at him. The kid was just staring at the mountain, a funny look on his face. What's wrong? It's the mountain, he said, staring hard at it. It's dark, all of it. Dark? Han frowned at the mountain. It looked fine to him. What are you talking about? It's dark, Luke repeated slowly, like Mirker was. Han looked at the mountain, looked back at Luke. You mean like in a bunch of Isalamiri cutting off the Force? Luke nodded. That's what it feels like. I won't know for sure until we're closer. Han looked back at the mountain, feeling his stomach curling up inside him. Great, he muttered. Just great. Now what? Luke shrugged. We go on. What else is there? Getting back to the Falcon and getting out of here, that's what, Han retorted. Unless you're really hot to walk into an Imperial trap. I don't think it's a trap, Luke said, shaking his head thoughtfully. Or at least not a trap for us. Remember how that contact I told you about with Cabal's was suddenly cut off? Han rubbed his cheek. He could see what Luke was getting at, all right. The Isalamiri were here for Cabal's, not him. I'm still not sure I buy that, he said. I thought Cabal's and Thrawn were on the same side. Mara said that herself. Maybe they had a falling out, Luke suggested. Or maybe Thrawn was using him from the start and now doesn't need him anymore. If the Imperials don't know we're here, the Isalamiri must have been meant for him. Yeah, well, it doesn't matter much who they were meant for, Han pointed out. They'll block you just as well as they will Cabal's. It'll be like Mirker all over again. Mara and I did okay on Mirker, Luke reminded him. We can handle it here. Anyway, we've come too far to back out now. Han grimaced. But the kid was right. Once the Empire gave up on this deserted planet routine, chances were the next New Republic team wouldn't even make it into the atmosphere. You going to tell Mara before we get there? Of course. Luke looked up at the sky. But I'll tell her on the way. We'd better get moving while we still have daylight. Right, Han said, giving the area one last look before he got to his feet. Force or no force, it was up to them. Let's go. The others were waiting just around the other side of the hill. How's it look? Lando asked as Han and Luke rejoined them. They still don't know we're here, Han told them, looking around for Mara. She was sitting on the ground near 3PO and R2, concentrating on a set of 5 stones she'd gotten to hover in the air in front of her. Luke had been teaching her this kind of stuff for days, and Han had finally given up trying to talk the kid out of it. It looked like the lessons were going to be a waste of time now, anyway. You ready to take us to this back door of yours? I'm ready to start looking for it, she said, still keeping the stones in the air. As I told you before, I only saw the air system equipment from inside the mountain, I never saw the intakes themselves.
We'll find them, Luke assured her, passing Han and walking over to the droids. How are you doing, 3PO?
Quite well, thank you, Master Luke, the droid answered primly. This route is so much better than many of the earlier ones.
Beside him, R2 trilled something.
R2 finds it so as well, 3PO added.
Don't get attached to it, Mara warned, finally letting the stones drop as she stood up.
There probably won't be any Minyirshi trails up the mountains for us to follow. The Empire discouraged native activity anywhere nearby.
But don't worry, Luke soothed the droids. The Nogri will help us find a path. Freighter Garrett's Gold, you're cleared for final approach. The brisk voice of Bilbringi Control came over the Etherway's bridge speaker. Docking platform 25. Straight vector as indicated to the buoy. It'll feed you the course to follow to the platform. Acknowledged, Control, Aves said, keying in the course that had come up on the nav display. What about the security fields? Stay on the course you're given, and you won't run into them, the controller said. Deviate more than about 15 meters any direction, and you'll get a good bump on the nose. From the looks of it, I don't think your nose can afford any more bumps. Aves threw a glare at the speaker. One of these days, he was going to get real tired of Imperial sarcasm. Thank you, he said, and keyed off.
Imperials are such fun to work with, aren't they? Gillespie commented from the co-pilot station.
I like to imagine what his expression is going to be like when we burn out of here with their CGT, Aves said.
Let's hope we're not around to find out for sure, Gillespie said. Pretty complicated flight system they've got here.
It wasn't like this before that raid of Mazik's, Aves said, gazing ahead through the viewport. Half a dozen shield generators were visible along his approach vector, floating loose around the area and defining the flight path the buoy would supposedly give him. Probably supposed to keep anyone else from flying around the shipyards any old way they want to.
Yeah, Gillespie said. I just hope they've got all the glitches out of the system.
Me too, Aves agreed. I don't want them to know how much of a bump this ship can really take.
He glanced down at his board, confirming his vector, and then checking the time. The New Republic fleet ought to be hitting Tangreen in a little over 3 hours. Just enough time for the Etherway to dock. This book is continued at this point on the other side of this cassette. Please reverse or turn the cassette over now.